just wanted the deal to get done. Obviously, I'm happy it got done before training camp, just to be able to be here, to eliminate any potential distraction, to just worry about football. I'm just excited. I'm really excited to be here, excited to show the fans what we have to offer here this training camp and get the ball rolling. I'm just excited about this new team. I mean, there's so many new faces, as you guys all know, as the fans know. The goal always remains the same. It's a new year. It's a fresh start for everybody across the league. Everybody looks good on paper this time of year, but it's all about what we do over the next week, next couple weeks here in preparation.
All right. Good afternoon, everybody. How are you? TJ Watt talking for the first time since January when he put up an offer in that embarrassing playoff loss to the Ravens. He got his money. He is the highest paid non-quarterback in the league on a per year basis at $41 million. He did get the bump over Myles Garrett, so he was grinning from ear to ear when he addressed reporters today, showing up in Latrobe at St. Vincent College. And we'll hear from him throughout the day, plus Mike Tomlin, Omar Khan all sprinkled in. Pirates trying to sweep the Tigers as well, a team that came into the series with the best record in baseball after the Pirates were swept by a team that's probably going to lose 110 games. So they're doing Pirates things. Malzy is across from me. Hello, Malzy.
Hi, Pony. How are you?
Donnie is not here. I believe Donnie is at this game.
He's at the game. It's our Odyssey, like kind of a big, you know, team building. Hey, we're taking you to the ball game. We got tailgating. Well, we're always the ones on the air.
Yeah.
I mean, them's the breaks when you're a highly rated sports talk
show.
Could
we have asked off and gone to that if we
Donnie
wanted to?
Donnie 100% did. And now we're left with Dom.
Yeah, left being
say
the operative word.
I shouldn't say left with. I mean, he's already going to feel, he's going to have a complex and make it seem like I hate him when I don't.
All right, here's what I want to dive into based on what we heard from Watt, and there's more from him on skipping mini camp, the peace sign thing he did on Instagram he commented on for the first time. Also about not being anchored down to the left side of the defensive formation this year. He talked about that too. But I want to start with what he said about how he said that the standard is always the same here going into a season. That's actually my favorite point that he made there. Because I think as we embark on another Steelers season, it's clear to me that it's not the same thing. Their goal has changed. This season is about winning a Super Bowl. I mean, it's about not winning a Super Bowl. It's about winning a playoff game. You have pointed out very accurately, Malzy, that they're really not all in, despite what Ben says on his podcast. They have given up very little for 2026. They have a treasure trove of picks for 2026. They are trying to have their cake and eat it too this season. They're trying to keep Tomlin's winning streak going. They're trying to keep relevance going. They're trying to win a playoff game since 2016. They have elected this year. This season is about that. It could have been about putting themselves in best position for a quarterback next year. It could have been that. They chose to do that instead, and that is what, using the word excited twice in his answer about playing this year. And I actually think most fans agree with him. I think fans, I would not include myself in this group, but I think fans are very jazzed up and jacked up for this year. I think they are. You used to call it the Bradenton blues or whatever, the Bradenton flu.
Bradenton flu. Oh, yeah. If you get infected with the Bradenton flu, please call it. You got to consult a medical professional.
I think that fans have that for this football team.
Do you think they have it specifically for this iteration? Because we talked to all these people, and we're going to talk to them today, Pony. Why do you think they have it when, at the end of most years, we'll hear from people who do get like the Latrobe flu? But a lot of them are fed up and say, I'm sick of watching the same old, same old. So what do you think it is about
because
going into this?
Because it's not same old, same old in terms of the way that the roster looks. Aaron Rodgers is the quarterback. DK Metcalf is at wide receiver. Jalen Ramsey is in the defensive backfield.
They had a guy last year who was a Hall of Famer possibly to be, who had won a Super Bowl, who was supposed to be their
Russell
starter.
Russell Wilson's not Aaron Rodgers, and people like the pen that they used in Men in Black have erased that end of the season and don't want to say that Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers should be put in the same sentence with each other. There is a lot of Pollyanna, glass half full Steelers takes out there. And I'm not going to be like, I don't want the point of this to be, hey, I'm trying to rain on everybody's parade when they get to training camp. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying, what I'm commenting more on is the path they've chosen, which absolutely is to just win a playoff game. And here's how I'm going to make that point. They have almost $20 million in cap space. If they were all in, all in, all in, they would use that $20 million in cap space and do three things right now. They would sign a wide receiver, they would sign a safety, and they would probably sign someone who we've heard of to back up their tackles on their offensive line. They would do all three of those, and they would spend right to the cap. Now, maybe those moves are coming. Omar Khan is talking right now. We'll see what he says. But if you're seriously in, like, if this is make or break, Super Bowl or bust, you go and you do all of those things with that extra money. You don't leave money on the table. You sign Amari Cooper, you sign Justin Simmons, you sign some offensive linemen to back up those guys, and you go from there. That's more all in my opinion. That's like, we could still argue, man, they don't stack up with the Ravens, the Chiefs, or the Bills, but at least their actions would fully back that up. I mean, I was talking to my father-in-law. We had a lot of time in the car when we were driving back and forth from Sesame Place this past week for my daughter's birthday. No, he was all the way in the back of a three-row SUV.
Just chatterboxing away to you.
He was, and he has hearing aids, so at point...
So you were having to go, no, I don't think that that's what they should do.
It made for interesting fodder, not to veer too far off course, but...
No, let's stay on course.
It plays into what I'm talking about. You are a Broderick Jones guy. They love Fautanu. What happens if either one of those gets dinged up this year? Who plays? You don't have the up-and-coming offensive lineman. You don't have Jones at this time last year being the backup at both tackle spots to Moore and Fautanu.
Correct.
You've got guys, you've got Anderson brothers, and you've got McCollum or whatever, McCollum.
McCollum.
That's it. You are not just talking about their starters. You're thin there.
You've pinned a lot of hopes on two first-round picks.
And their health. And Fautanu's had a history of injuries. You've got by the Steelers' standards, money available to you that they haven't completely spent.
Okay, let me tell you who are some of the best remaining free agents. Keenan Allen, he said he's not going to come here. Amari Cooper still out there. I'm guessing in NFL terms, Amari Cooper turned 62 overnight because nobody seems interested, at least right now. Marcus Williams is a free safety. You have Deshaun Elliott, who's a thumper, who's going to play in the box. So Marcus Williams would check that box.
Did you say
for
Justin
you.
Simmons yet?
I didn't say Justin Simmons yet, but he's down the list too. If you are looking for
Gabe Davis is out there.
I'm not bullish on that because he's coming off of injury.
I'm not bullish on it either.
But I'm looking at tackles here, Pony.
Chris,
there's not a ton of tackles that are out there that are available, but there are players at the positions you have mentioned, which is why I am doing this exercise. There are name recognition type of guys out there, and they have not pursued them.
And so, I mean, don't you think that internally that is their objective this year, is to just win a playoff
game?
Yes,
I think getting Rodgers in here and not bringing back even like Fields or whatever, I think it is all in service of the idea that if we send Aaron Rodgers out with a playoff win and he gets us a playoff win, mission accomplished all the way around, then we have enough of these picks we could actually move up in next year's first round and find a quarterback we like. Because not everybody who's going to be picking at the top of the draft is going to need one. That's just never how it is. And we're going to get one of a handful of guys we might like. Probably not the best guy because we're never going to be drafting number one overall and we're never going to move up to that position, but we'll satisfy both masters. And you and I have pointed this out with the Pirates before, with the Penguins kind of in real time. It's real hard to straddle that line and get away with it. I don't even think that they're going to necessarily achieve mission, 1.0, which is win a playoff game.
But the other point I was going to make off of that is, if they fail, I don't think they care.
Because they'll say, oh, well, then that just positions us more closely to
right.
a quarterback.
I think they've positioned this year as a win-win.
In
a
their
no-lose proposition.
Well, in their
yes.
own internal perspective, yeah.
Yes.
But that's been their internal perspective on what their expectations are and should be, I feel like has been different from the people on the outside for a while now. They might never admit that. TJ Watt can say it's the standards the same every year here, blah, blah, blah. I think you and I and most of the people listening to this show would probably agree that that standard changed imperceptibly and then very perceptibly years
but
ago.
But I do think it's like a healthy mindset that fans are embracing. Hey, if we win with Aaron Rodgers, great. It'll be fun. It's different. It's fun. It's one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, and he picked us for his swan song. He picked us to go out on top, potentially. That's cool.
He believed in us.
Yes. We're excited about that. Watt's excited. If it doesn't work out, no big deal. That just puts us in a better spot to take our quarterback when the draft is here in April. And like maybe in between, if it goes that way, it'll give fans ammunition to rip Tomlin and bitch about him. And hey, if we get to stop saying he's never had a losing season, if that's the worst thing that happens this year, where he doesn't have that feather in his cap anymore, well, that's not bad either.
There are probably people that would look at that and say it's good because to whatever degree it's blinding him. No, besides you. Internally, I think there would be people there who would say if that was blinding him or impacting him or subtly affecting him, maybe it'll be a shock to him and to them and they'll change some things up.
Like here. The Steelers are very much, by every prognostication and training camp prediction, a team that is smack dab in the middle of the NFL.
19th best roster, but, according to ESPN.
Right,
but you are not happy about that.
But I think Steelers fans are good with that. This is okay. We'll see where it goes with Aaron Rodgers. If it blows up in our face, great. In my opinion, the absolute worst case scenario might be the most likely one.
9-8,
which
no
is you go
earth.
To the no. I think worse is you go 10-7. You go to the playoffs. You
get
lose
slaughtered again,
and then you're far away from the front of the line for the draft. Tomlin still gets.
Wait,
to
how
say
much further
that,
away are you from the front of the line? And then if you go 9-8 and just don't make it, which is very plausible, you go 9-8. You don't even achieve goal number one to get to the single elimination tournament, and you're still picking 18th.
Yeah,
probably.
I think we're splitting hairs a little bit there.
Sure.
Both,
well, no. If you said if their goal is a playoff win,
right,
you don't even get there. That's a major failure on point one, and you're almost as far away from point two, from objective two, as you otherwise would have been.
Yeah,
that's coming. That's like pulling out your pockets
Fair
and nothing
enough.
Comes out.
Yeah, I mean that's.
And I think that's absolutely
articulated
possible.
Well. Yeah, I mean, we've had people on the station that have said, you know, one of two things are going to happen. They're either going to finally win a playoff game or they're going to stink. No, it's not that cut and dried, folks. This isn't like a binary system to build a computer where you put only ones and zeros in. There's a large range of outcomes here. And the one that people have, you know, denied for years is, you know, they'll never have a losing season. We'll see. I mean, this does not have to become the theme of the show, but I'm going to say this now, and it'll get revisited probably throughout the entire run of training camp and the preseason. Among teams that are good, potentially, like playoff teams, returning playoff teams in the AFC, mm-hmm. No team has more offensive question marks than the Steelers. They have very few sure things on offense.
I would agree with that.
Now, they probably...
Their center is their most sure thing on
their
offense.
Their center?
And their tight end.
Their tight
I think
end?
Freiermuth and Jonnu Smith are both pretty known commodities
but Jonnu Smith's on a new team.
Well, he's not going to put up the numbers he did with the Dolphins because those were predicated on their receivers
and
being
hurt. I would throw Sayamalu in there as solid, too. That's 3 out of 11 guys. Go every team in the AFC. No other team has that many questions on the offensive side of the ball, which is where football's won now. Not even the Bengals, who are in shambles. They have Joe Burrow and their wide receivers.
Their offense isn't in
shambles. Yes.
Arthur Smith's still a question for me.
I agree. And Arthur Smith and Mike Tomlin is...
Well, that's the looming question over all of it. Let's say some of these questions look like they're answered positively in the very early going. Jones and Fautanu are healthy, and they both suddenly look much more as advertised. And maybe Caleb Johnson works his way in, and DK Metcalf's just a better, lower drama version of Pickens. Does the head coach, who still has his finger on every control button... let them do their thing. Do Aaron Rodgers actually play nice? I was just going to say,
that's where the Rodgers thing comes in.
Because if he's obviously better, he's an upper room Hall of Fame guy. You're right to say that he's different from Russell Wilson, even though Russ might end up there. He's an upper room Hall of Fame guy. Does that earn him deference from a head coach who is not an upper room Hall of Fame head coach?
One of the other questions that I'm sure we'll do a show on or multiple segments on will be who should have more say in their offense. Aaron Rodgers or Arthur Smith? Because I don't want to hear the BS answer that it's equal. It's not. Nothing's 50-50. Okay, someone is going to have more authority when it's all said and done. And who should that guy be? And look, I am not the biggest, at this point in his career, I'm not the biggest Aaron Rodgers fan. But I honestly trust what Aaron Rodgers' eyes tell him about what's happening on the field more than I would the offensive coordinator based on his resume.
Well, I think there's two things at play there. Based on resumes, it should be the quarterback, and I'm sure you would have and did say that about Ben even late in his career because farts in a skillet or Canada were the guys calling the shots there who had no resume. But I think at some point, unless the quarterback's Brady in his 40s, do you really want a guy with diminished skills? I know Rodgers still has the arm having that much say-so. He's not, I've said this a million times, you've heard me say it, if he was the Aaron Rodgers that he was in 2021, would he have been available to the Steelers for a song, relatively speaking? No. The answer is
it's just fun. It's a fun time of year. It really is to be here back in Latrobe. We're going to go to Sharky's at some point, I'm sure, with the guys and get some wings like we always do. All the traditions that makes this place special and hopefully leads to a successful season for us.
Do you pick up the check at Sharky's?
Yeah, I'll be picking up the check for quite some time, I'm sure.
Speaking of Sharkies, Donnie Football will be doing his big training camp extravaganza show there tomorrow night from 6 to 10:35.
He'll be at Dino's tomorrow, I thought.
Oh, crap. My bad.
Man.
I'm off to a great start.
Man, stub the old toe right there, my friend.
That's like saying a guy's going to be at McDonald's when he's at Wendy's. Oops.
He will be at Dino's tomorrow night from 6 to 10.
Yeah. Subtract and I retract everything I said there. Probably should have dumped it, but whatever. I forgot that there were two competing wing places in Latrobe.
He's got two more of these in the hopper after this one, and they're both at different locations. I don't know what those two were. I think he told me.
Well, before I...
I'm just trying to vamp here and get away
from it. But we know that tomorrow's at Dino's?
It is at Dino's,
well, let me just say for now, I believe Dino's has superior wings and the best food and beer specials.
Now, what if you find out that one of the other two places is the place you just mistakenly mentioned? Then you'll be coming right back around saying, and you know what?
I'd have to look at their menu.
It's just neck and neck. It's basically like racing Secretariat against himself.
All right. So Watt gets the big payday. Now I think more on his shoulders. We've gone over it. His playoff invisible man act. He did score a touchdown, but he just picked up a ball that was on the ground. That's his biggest contribution to Steelers playoff losses. He is an edge rusher. He's not a quarterback. He's not a coach. So it's not as much on him as it is on those guys in those situations. He doesn't deserve the criticism that Tomlin gets or Roethlisberger got. However, when you make close to quarterback money, you are expected to be a difference maker in games like this. And he was highly paid for most of those games, not all of them, but most, where he was making top of the food chain money at on the defensive side of the ball. So same goes here. I mean, I expect more than 11.5 sacks now. I expect him to not single-handedly, but be a driving force to wins late in the year for the Steelers against really good teams like the Bills and the Lions and the Ravens. And
if you're getting paid like the
talent stiffens.
Sure. If you're paid like the best player in the league, which is what, $41 million a year outside of quarterbacks, if you're paid like that guy, I expect you, at least relative to your peers, to perform like that guy. I don't think that's unreasonable.
Yes, he did not have a $41 million season when it was all said and done last year.
Realistically, they're paying him like they think he's the best edge rusher in the league. I know this will change whenever Jerry Jones gets his head out of his ass and pays Parsons, that'll change again, and Parsons will reset the market again. But for right now, you can say the expectation is be better than Garrett, be a lot better than everybody else, just not name Garrett and Parsons, basically. Sniff around 20 sacks. That's what you should be expecting. That's what they're paying him like they think he's capable of doing.
Here he is on why he sent out that cryptic... Oh, wait, no, I'll give you this one first. This is because this, I think, is more applicable to what people want moving forward. How about the coaching staff helps Watt and doesn't put him off the right tackle in every game where offenses can scheme all week to double team him, chip him and all that. Here he is on that change for 2025.
This time of year is perfect for it, to move around, to get comfortable. It's not about winning every single rep and having to be on the left side and having to get everything mastered on the left side. It's about trying new things and moving around, and I'm sure you guys will see a good amount of that. And we just have so much depth, especially at the outside linebacker position, with Herb, too, who's a more than capable pass rusher. So I'm sure we'll have some cool packages and some new stuff for you guys to see.
Well, and I want to say this is not all on Tomlin's shoulders. Everything that's been written and said about this situation is that Watt does have to take some blame for always being there, because it's a little bit of the Dan Moore situation. He thinks he's much better lining up across from the right tackle to the left tackle. And from what I know about it, it's not because he likes the matchup better, because right tackles are easier than left tackles in theory. It's because of like his vision, he claims, and like the push-off he gets from that spot.
So that he thinks he's got a strong, basically got a stronger leg, that he's his get off is a lot quicker because they do that drill with the ball. They hold the ball on the stick, Pony. Jeff was talking about this last week while you were out.
Oh boy,
they hold the ball on the stick.
Yeah, very technical on the football side.
But
of things,
it's how fast do you get off the line of scrimmage? And I guess he always wins the drill every single time. The thing I always thought was weird about the right tackle part is I thought part of the advantage, even though you had to go against left tackles, about lining up against them, Pony, was that you got most of the time to see the quarterback's blind side and they didn't know you were coming, which I would just think is always going to be easier for a pass rusher, right? They can't see you. They can't avoid you.
Yeah.
Watt lines up and they know he's, even if he beats his man, they know where he is. Like you can have a guy step up and avoid him if they've got a little nimble feet.
I do think that adds to how impressive his numbers are. You know, the Garrett thing is, oh, I get to, he goes against left tackles, they're better. Yeah, but he also moves around, so there is some element of surprise. With Watt, what you just said, the quarterback sees him, and the offense always knows where he is. And yet, his numbers have been spectacular every year, with the end of last year being an exception to that. Here he is on why he sent out that cryptic peace sign post on Instagram, which got everybody worried in the first place that maybe there was trouble in paradise.
Sometimes it's just fun to have fun with the narratives out there, because I mean, obviously I'm very in tune with what's going on in negotiations and how things are going. It's fun to see what you guys are all writing, thinking that things are one way even though they're completely a different way. So sometimes it's fun, especially when it's early in the off season, to kind of throw something out there and see what happens. And it stirred things up a lot more than I ever thought it could.
I think he's playing a little dumb there.
A little dumb.
I think that's Coy Watt. He's TJ.
He's playing very dumb there.
Yeah.
Towering levels of dumb. Come on. That's like one of my favorite playing dumb routines. Every athlete does it. Oh, I sent out a cryptic post. Come on now.
I listened to basically the whole press conference. This went the way that everybody thought it would once he got the money he wanted. Which all the things that happened up to this,
water under the bridge.
Yep. Exactly.
Yeah, 100%.
All the hurt feelings are gone now that he got paid.
I mean, most of these NFL,
how this always works.
Most of these big NFL contract situations where a guy wants an extension, unless it's like with the Bengals where those just get, they go beyond the pale. They remind me of like the run-up to boxing matches, Pony, where both guys talk trash on each other and you're pretty sure they don't have a problem with each other and they're just trying to sell tickets, that kind of deal.
But even with the Bengals thing, I mean, obviously it's bad with the two defensive players right now, but it looked really, really bad with Chase and Higgins, and they gave those two guys the money, and that quelled everything for them. I think that's mostly how it is. I mean, look at the things that like Hayward was saying last year before he got his contract changed. Talking about, you know, maybe I'll go play in Cleveland. I've got family there. Stuff like that.
And it's all these like varying degrees of mean feelings until the money comes in. And then it's, we all love each
other. Mr. Kennedy!
Fan Hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Tyler Kennedy did a full hour with Austin Bechtold today. My apologies in advance on that. That had to be rough. You think you're showing up getting Pomp and Starkey and you get Austin instead. That's like thinking you're going to play on Sidney Crosby's line. You look at the lineup and you draw Craig Adams as your center. Tyler Kennedy brought to you by Tri-State Office Furniture, the best in the business. TK, Erik Karlsson, still a Penguin. Brian Rust, still a Penguin. Rickard Rakell, still a Penguin. I was told by those who cover hockey a few days removed from free agency, hey, all these big trades are going to start happening because the teams that didn't get what they wanted in free agency are now going to get those players in trades. Do you think at this point Erik Karlsson is untradeable?
It's very close that he's untradeable, but it all depends how much of his salary you're going to retain to get rid of him. What are you willing to swallow to get him on another team is the big question. I don't think there's going to be any moves until at least training camp, in my opinion.
How motivated do you think they are to move him? Like, if it's, no, we really got to do this, we're going to retain salary to do it, versus we're just looking for the right, versus basically, like, unless it's the perfect deal for us where we don't have to retain a lot, we'll keep him around here. Because I think they can say one thing publicly. I've got to believe they're more ready privately to move on from him, TK. At least that's my read.
I think so. I think they're just trying to figure out if it's even possible, if there's going to be any takers. I think they've been trying for probably about a year now, because it just hasn't been the right fit for him. I think, and Kyle Dubas was very high on Karlsson, bringing him here and seeing, you know, what he can bring to the team. Even I've heard that Kyle Dubas wanted him in Toronto and it didn't work out and he got John Tavares instead. But I think right now it's going to be a very tough play to get rid of Erik Karlsson. I don't think there's going to be that many takers on him.
TK, what have you heard about him controlling his own destiny here? He's got the no movement clause. So, I mean, do you think he knows the Penguin situation? Do you think he'd block a trade to a Detroit or Ottawa or something like that because he just doesn't want to pick up and move his family again to a place like that?
It's hard for me to say because, one, he's got kids. He's probably pretty comfortable here. I think when guys like him have other guys like Chris Letang taking a little bit of the pressure off him, I think it helps him. But whenever a team is trying to trade you and they come up and ask you if you want to waive your no trade clause, as a player, it's tough to say no because you know they don't want you around.
You've said that before.
And unless it's a team like a Detroit or a team like that doesn't have much of a future, it's not the greatest city to live in, I don't think he's waving it. But, you know, going back to Ottawa where he started his career, where he was a superstar, I think he'd waive it for that. Even, you know, a team that's young, that has a chance to make playoffs and a good climate, you know, I think he's willing to move his trade, his no move. But it's going to be tough, boys, because his last 2 years have really shown, like, exposed him a little bit on that defensive side. You know, the Penguins aren't that high-flying, we're going to outscore you, and doesn't matter how many goals you get. Right now, we have to play a different game. We have to play a very good defensive game, and we have to beat you 2-1, 1-0, and we got to be very strong defensively. When you have Chris Letang, Karlsson, they're a different pedigree. They want to run. They want to get up in the play. They want to take chances. And you don't play that defensive style that wins with those two guys. So it's going to be tough. And I think a lot of people have been watching him. A lot of scouts have been watching him and seeing if he can change his game. And he hasn't.
TK, great job with Austin today. I know you had to carry that
entire conversation. I hope he didn't ask you about wiffle ball either during the show. I hope he just kind of like let that part.
He should have asked you about girls. Maybe you could have given him some advice on those.
You know what? We were talking about, we got to get a little pickleball tournament going. He says he's into pickleball too. Mm. He did a great job today. Wow. You guys play pickleball or no?
No, I've never picked up one of those rackets in my life.
I've played it one time, TK. And all that little short area stopping and starting, I can hear each ACL popping if I ever do it. Mm.
Yeah, but it's so much better in tennis. You don't have to sweat as much. You're moving around. You can wire
TK,
that.
TK, you're going to be stunned to hear this. You don't want to say that around Pony. Humongous tennis
fan. I do like tennis.
Like a massive tennis fan.
We used to play gentleman's tennis where the idea was to not hit the ball past the person. It was just to volley it and have fun. So that was my speed.
I love tennis too, but I like you said, like I'm too old to chase the ball down.
Yeah.
I need it in a 10-foot area where I can – I still got quick feet a little bit, boys, where I can get to it. But if it's longer than 10 feet, I'm pretty much shutting her down. I can't get to it. You know, I give up.
Tyler, thank you. We'll talk again next week at this time. You're the best.
All right. Thanks, boys.
There you go. Tyler Kennedy.
Sounds like the kids getting restless in the background. I heard some general commotion starting well in the distance.
I remembered what I wanted to say about the Donnie bit, him going to have that big training camp show tomorrow night at Dino's, not the other place that TJ Watt mentioned.
Yes.
The tweet that Donnie sent out that warmed the hearts of millions about how this is the way it's meant to be. The Steelers should be practicing at St. Vincent College. So many teams have elected to stop that. I believe there's only four teams left in the NFL who go to a college campus for training camp: the Rams, the Steelers, the Chiefs, and the Bills.
What do the Cowboys do, though, in Oxnard?
They're not on a college campus. They have, their own practice facility, swaggy.
Do you count that, though, because they go away?
No,
because
it's bougie. It's not they're staying in dorms. They're staying in the five-star resort.
So, wait, Rams, Chiefs, Steelers,
Bills. That's it.
There's no correlation there. The Eagles just go to their practice facility in South Philly, and
some teams just do it at their stadium. Cardinals, Patriots, they're just at Gillette. And Donnie's point is, and players have made this point too. It's like, this is where teams are built. This is where character is defined. And
I think that's a little overrated, because if that was the truth, teams like the Eagles would suck. Yeah.
Well, but let me just finish this point. Art Rooney, I think, has either said or he's mentioned to people, as long as we own the team, we're going to practice here. The scuttlebutt is, now this is not going to be a huge thing the next time there's a CBA, but there's absolutely a movement among the players to collectively bargain to get practices off of college campuses. They don't like it. They don't like what we saw Steelers players do today. They don't like moving their stuff into little rooms that are intended for 18 and 19-year-old kids. There's a reason why kids who go to colleges, like Dom, the first chance they get to get out of dorm rooms, guess what? They do it.
Off-campus housing, baby.
They don't want to live in them.
I was in off-campus housing the last 3 years
for
that exact reason.
And so a guy making $123 million now, like TJ Watt, they're not a fan of it. So,
I mean, AB didn't even stay in the dorms.
And some said Roethlisberger didn't either. So I guess what I'm saying is,
by some said he didn't.